strange as it may seem, the first and fiercest war of which we have any record was actually started by an angel with eye trouble. Oddly enough, history reveals that no one was killed in the original battle, but its effects are still being felt today. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about this unusual war. This is Joe Cruz in the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, several years ago, when China was still staving off the approaches of a communist takeover, the United States had some B-29 bombers based at certain military fields on the mainland of China. As one of those giant planes thundered down a runway for takeoff one day, a Chinese civilian suddenly dashed across in front of the bomber, barely escaping the whirling propellers. The man was taken into custody and questioned about his suicidal actions. And this was the explanation he gave. He said, "There was a devil chasing me, and I ran in front of the plane so that the devil would be killed if he came behind me." Well, we may all have to agree that this act was based upon superstitious fears, but that man did believe in the existence of a devil, at least. Hence, he was much better off than thousands of Christian theologians who question even the existence of such a being. Now, it's hard to believe, friends, but in a poll taken of 500 leading preachers, it was found that 54% did not believe in a personal devil. Now, those men are the worst fool men in the world, and Satan is very happy to have it that way, believe me. He is delighted when men preach that he's not real, that he's only an evil influence or a bad thought. Now let's see what Jesus, the master teacher, had to say about the reality of the devil. In John 8:44, he describes Satan as a murderer and the father of lies. Now that's the teaching of Christ on the subject. Can you imagine an influence telling a lie? Can an influence kill? Of course not. Again, in James 2:19, we're told that even the devils believe and tremble. Now, it takes a personality, an intelligent mind, to believe. The devil, then, is not a mere fantasy, but a reality. Listen to the Bible in 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, the devil is just as real as a lion is real. In the New Testament alone, there are 71 direct references by name to this prince of evil. Well, where did the devil come from anyway, friends? Who made him? To answer that question, we must go back to the ages of the past before the creation of this world. We have to consider the glorious host of angels whom God made as his ministering spirits and who lived there in the very presence of God. Among those angels was one called Lucifer, which means day star. He was the most beautiful of all, holding the highest position right by the very throne of God. But you know, one day something happened to this angel which had never happened to any creature in all the universe before. He first became dissatisfied with his position and began to covet the place of God himself. Here we have the record of the first sin that ever existed. I'd like to read a few texts from the Bible to impress this story. First, let me read about the beauty and position of this angel in Ezekiel 28, verses 12, 14, and 15. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, until iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." Now, under the figure of the king of Tyrus here, this description is given of Satan as he existed once in the councils of God in the beautiful paradise. Now we turn to Isaiah 14:12-14, and read those words describing this beautiful angel. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now, friends, notice how he kept talking about himself and how, I will do these things. I will take God's place. Lucifer coveted the right to rule the universe. He introduced rebellion in the ranks of the angels of heaven. You see, he was an angel with eye trouble. The concord of the universe was broken, and slowly this spirit spread from one to another until one-third of the angels had become disaffected with God. The result of all this is portrayed for us in Revelation 12:7-9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then, of course, we remember those words of Jesus in 10:18, where he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, just try to think of it a moment, friends. There was war in heaven, of all places. Christ and the good angels fought against the dragon and those who had joined with him in his rebellion. And the result was that the devil was cast out into this earth with one-third of the angels who joined him in this rebellion against God. And so the great controversy between good and evil was started in heaven and then transferred down to this earth. No longer was Lucifer called the Day Star. His name now was changed to Satan, which means adversary. Now let me ask this question. Why did he sin? Listen, there is no explanation for it whatsoever. To explain it would be to excuse it. The most we can say is that he did indeed have eye trouble. He was that angel who kept saying, I, five times in those two verses, Isaiah 14:12. His beauty, his position became an obsession with him. And he would not stifle that spirit of self-seeking. How many others have fallen victim to that same delusion and suffered an eternal loss as a result? Now we learn how the human race became involved in this conflict. God made a beautiful garden called the Garden of Eden, in which he placed Adam and Eve, the first man and woman. In that garden was one tree which God commanded them not to touch or eat. And it was to this forbidden tree that Satan came, and by his subtle deceit caused first Eve and then Adam to taste of that fruit. With this first sin, the penalty of death passed upon the human race, because God had said that if they disobeyed, thou shalt surely die. So Adam and Eve were driven from the beautiful garden home, and death entered the human family for the first time. And Satan has been here ever since, deceiving and destroying. What does he look like? Most people have seen him painted as some horrible red creature with a long forked tail and a pitchfork in his hand. Is that the true picture, friends? Absolutely not. If it were true, very few people would want to follow him. The fact is that Satan was the most beautiful of God's creation. He makes his appearance even now before the world with a lot of glitter and glamour. His appeal is in the bright lights, the loud laughter, the fine clothes. The snares of the devil are clothed with outward respectability and beauty. He's so subtle that he never appears in the habit of his ugly, repulsive self. The ugliness appears after the trap is sprung. Now, right here, I'm going to anticipate a question that's already forming in your mind. You're wondering why God did not destroy Lucifer before he could spread this deadly spirit of sin and rebellion. You're wondering now if God isn't somehow responsible for sins since he created Lucifer, who became the devil. Now let's see if we can find the answer to this question. First, let me say that God did not create a devil at all. He made a beautiful, sinless creature who was full of holy innocence. Let's try to illustrate this for a moment. Let's say that a mother has a beautiful son born to her whom she names John. John Doe. She tried to train him in the right way, but he got in the wrong company and became a drunkard. His life became an embarrassment to his own friends. One day we see him lying there in the gutter, loathsome, repulsive. Could we say concerning that man, look, see what a revolting creature Mrs. Doe brought into the world? Of course we couldn't say that, because she bore a sweet, innocent baby. He made himself loathsome and drunken. My friends, in the same way, God made a cherub full of purity and innocence. He was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. You say, but why did God make him so that he could become imperfect? Now there we come right back to the question of the power of choice and reason. It's true, God could have made automatic-like angels. He could have made them without the power to think, to reason, or to choose. But he wouldn't be satisfied to receive adoration and worship. God delights in the voluntary, spontaneous service of love. Even sinful men don't appreciate a service that must be compelled. No man wants his family to respect him merely from a sense of duty. I feel sure that God bestowed the power of choice so that his creatures could be happier and also to demonstrate his justice to everybody. I'm sure also that God recognized the dangers that were involved. He knew that sin was now within the realm of possibility because the angels could choose to disobey if they desired. All these things took into consideration and even made provision for the terrible emergency that might arise. Still, he saw fit to bestow the gift of choice instead of just making robots or machines. In this, no one can accuse God of injustice or charge him with the responsibility of sin. Now we come to another question. Why didn't God destroy Lucifer in the very inception of sin? Now the answer is obvious, friends. The angels didn't know what sin was. They did not know what the consequences of sin were. They had never seen death. And now Lucifer is accusing God of injustice. He's attacking his government. If God plucked out that rebel and destroyed him, the angels could not have understood why. The charges of Lucifer would have been unanswered. Fear would have spread to the utmost limits of the universe. The question would remain as to the truth of Lucifer's charges. God had but one wise choice. The ability and stability of the universe for ages was at stake. He must permit Satan to demonstrate his kind of government. There was no shortcut. It would take time. It would take sacrifice. But it would eventually vindicate the justice of God's government and his dealing with sin. Today, as the world hastens on to its end, as sin and crime multiply around us, Satan is furiously working to ensnare and destroy. He knows that his time is short. He knows that he's without hope and his government is soon to topple. In desperation, he seeks to carry with him every soul who can be influenced by his deception. Friends, are you avoiding this great deceiver and his enticements? Have you accepted the safety provided by God's great plan of salvation? Men will not be lost because they fell into Satan's traps. They will not lose eternal life because they were enticed to steal, kill, or commit any other sin. Man will be lost because they will not accept God's plan of deliverance from sin's conditions. Have you accepted that way of deliverance now, friends? It's not so mysterious that man is a sinner because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it is a mystery that so many continue to choose sin instead of choosing deliverance through Christ. Now, this subject concerning the origin of evil reminds us that someday the universe will be completely free of sin and its defiling influence. God will restore this earth to its original state of beauty and sinless perfection. Satan and sinners with him will be taken out of the picture entirely, and rebellion will never rise again to bring sorrow. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.